So if you would take your Bibles today, we're continuing our study in the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, 7. Our series is titled Pursuing Spiritual Sight. May God grant us both ears to hear the truth of God's Word, and may He grant us eyes to see Jesus this morning. Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I don't know of another word that creates passion in my soul any greater than the word mercy. Mercy is what we are all in need of. And God, looking down on us, loved us with such a love that He would choose to be merciful to people with sin-sick souls. Actually, the Scripture declares that we are dead in our trespasses and sin. We are lost without hope. But yet God in His mercy sent His Son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sin. And for those that will believe on Him, they are given life. Beloved, that is mercy. So blessed are the merciful. The main point today, and what I want to bring out in this passage, what it means is, those who are truly God's children, and as such, are objects of His mercy. And then they themselves will be merciful to others and receive mercy in the end. No one can merit God's mercy by performing any acts of mercy. We can't earn it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast." Mercy is given to the undeserving. That is God's gift to us in Christ. I don't know how to say it any more passionately. It makes Christ beautiful. Now, we all receive mercy through common grace. You know, this morning, we woke up. Often, I will comment, "Well, how's it going this morning?" And the person I'm having conversations will say, "Well, I got out of bed this morning." And that is a common grace. The sun came up. You know, most of us had breakfast. You know, it's a common grace. And we could go through the list of how blessed we are to live in a nation that we live in. America, the most prosperous, blessed nation probably ever to exist. God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. So there is mercy to some degree to all. But for those who are God's children, we have a special mercy that we receive. And of course, it is that gift of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. Now, there is a catch to this mercy. You know, once we have received the mercy of God in Christ, We have a tendency to say, hey, I've made it. I've arrived. I do have what I need. But yet we need to be aware that we need mercy every day. So that is going to be kind of the flip side of mercy. We receive mercy, yet we give mercy. So in order to give mercy, we need to learn that we need to receive from God mercy every day. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. So to be merciful, what does this mean in practice? And this is what Jesus is trying to teach us through the Beatitudes. Because we are people that have received from God mercy, we in turn will give mercy to others. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. One thing that has happened in my walk with the Lord, I've learned to have certain values. And mercy is one of those values. Do you value mercy? Jesus teaches us a pattern of values in the Sermon on the Mount. And with his teaching, he is really bringing a revolution to the world. It's revolutionary for people to be merciful, especially in the culture in which Jesus was teaching. They were under the Roman rule, oppressed, mistreated, abused. Yet Jesus is teaching, be merciful, because this is what it means to be a part of his kingdom, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. They are opposed. It is radical. And so as subjects of God's kingdom, we are to live with these new set of values. And I'm just going to say that is part of what the Beatitudes is teaching us. Now, the value of mercy. We receive mercy, and so we are also to be givers of mercy. Now, this rubs up against our culture these days, because these days we live in a me culture. It's all about me, my needs, but not so in the kingdom of God. Mercy is compassion. Another word for mercy could be compassion. Let me read you this passage out of Luke chapter 10, and you'll be familiar with this. No need to turn there. You can if you wish. But in Luke chapter 10, Jesus gives a parable, and it's titled The Good Samaritan. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. He set him on his animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So if we are people who will value mercy, we should be a compassionate people, just as this Good Samaritan was. Now let me just point out a few things that happened in this parable. All three of these men, the priest, the Levite, the Samaritan, they saw. They saw the man beaten, half dead on the side of the road. They saw. Let's don't take that for granted. Is your heart so hard this morning that you would not be able to see someone in distress? Jesus is teaching here, we need to be able to see. God, give us eyes to see those in distress, those in need. The Samaritan, he saw. But when he saw, it says that his heart went out to the person who was in need. His heart went out. You know, that's a good definition of compassion. Have you ever felt compassion? Oh, I do, all the time when my grandkids come over and they stub their toe or they trip and they scrape their knee. They know that Pawpaw is going to comfort them. And I kiss their owie and make it all better. But our hearts go out to those in need. This is the work of the Spirit in our life. I was visiting with one of our deacons this week, and he was sharing with me what God was doing in his heart, thinking about the sermon series and going through the Beatitudes. And he shared with me one day, he said, "Kim, I woke up and I'm having thoughts of mercy. I'm becoming merciful." And that is a wonderful thing, how the Spirit begins to move and work in our hearts and transform us. And we become merciful, compassionate, caring people. Not only did this Good Samaritan have compassion, but in his compassion, he did something. He took the man and he bound up his wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine. Adam, we used to sing a song. He poured in the oil and the wine, the kind that restoreth my soul. He found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road, and he poured in the oil and the wine. You know who that is? That's Jesus. Jesus did that for me. And likewise, we do that for those who are hurting. Mercy does not pretend and do nothing, but mercy does something. Also, mercy says, in spite of the person, we still show mercy. Now, it's not said here who the victim is, but we know who the Samaritan is. He's a half-breed Jew. He's looked down upon by Jewish people, shunned. If a Jew saw a Samaritan coming down the street, and if they were close, he would move to the other side and get away from that person. Maybe this is a Jew that is hurt on the road. But this Samaritan says, "I don't care who he is, I'm going to help him." That is mercy. So mercy is compassion, but mercy is also forgiving. And this is how many times we hear mercy used. So God in Christ forgives us, so we in turn forgive others. And that is good, because that's my next point. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." So God acts on our behalf in Christ. God is so merciful that He forgives us without limits. Have you ever had people that you were sharing the gospel with, they would come back and they would say, "Hey, you know, that's all good, you know, Christ can forgive me, but you just don't know what I have done. I mean, my sins are especially bad. They are so bad, man, I just don't think God's grace is big enough." But the truth is, God's grace is great enough, and His forgiveness is limitless. It covers all our sin. Now, when God's grace comes into our hearts, it makes us merciful. But if we refuse to be merciful, there's only one reason. It is that we have never understood the grace of Christ. We are outside of the grace of Christ, and we are unforgiving. Jesus taught a pretty harsh parable out of Matthew 18, 21 and 35. It's the story of the wicked servant. And it goes something like this, and I'll paraphrase. "But there was a servant who owed his master a huge sum of money, probably over $20 million. It was impossible for him to pay. So he pleaded with his master, who had compassion on him, surprisingly, and he forgave the man the entire debt." What an awesome act of forgiveness. Now, I don't know how you feel about debt, but I don't like debt. My wife and I have spent most of our adult lives trying to get out of it. So we can understand about having the debt. And we should also be able to understand that we have no ability to pay it back. That's the shape this man was in. He has no ability to pay that debt back. But incredibly, this man, this servant, who was forgiven an immeasurable amount of money, goes out and finds a fellow servant who owes him about 3 months' pay. And he said, "Hey, you owe me. Pay me." Guy says, "I don't have the ability right now." So this wicked servant had his fellow servant cast into prison because he could not pay. He doesn't reciprocate an act of mercy, but he judges the man harshly, has him put in prison. And so Jesus continues to tell the story. What happens is some fellow servants told the master what the wicked servant had done. And so he called back in to give an account. And he says to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you?" And in his anger, his master turned him over to the jailers until he should pay all of his debt. Now, the last phrase is pretty harsh, but these are the words of Jesus. He says, "So will your heavenly Father do to you if you don't forgive your brother from the heart." Now, Jesus is teaching us that forgiveness is a serious matter. And it's serious because God in Christ has forgiven us. And He is calling us to forgive our brothers who have wronged us. Harboring unforgiveness in our hearts will destroy our witness for Christ. And I tell you, I'm challenged at how much I am like the wicked servant. I struggle with forgiveness. I do. Why is that? Well, it's because I still have a wicked heart much of the time. I'm not there yet. Learning to forgive is hard. And I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves of how great the forgiveness is in Christ. It is given freely. It's not earned. Mercy, forgiveness, is never earned. It's only given. Holding on to grudges, nourishing the hatred. Why do we do that? Because it feels good for a while. But in the end, it will damage our soul. It damages our relationships. Number one, with God. It damages our relationships with one another. And it damages our community of believers. Is there someone that you've not forgiven? Maybe way back in the past. Maybe as early as yesterday. May God grant you the grace to forgive freely and fully. Now, I think I said before, learning to forgive is hard because in reality, our hearts are sinful. Listen to this poem. To live above with saints we love will certainly be glory. To live below with saints we know, well, that's another story. Let's be real. Let's be honest. Forgiving is hard. But we must do it. Later on, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. Matthew 6, 14 through 15, you'll know this by memory. But Jesus says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses." I can't make it any clearer. This is what the Bible teaches. Forgiveness is not optional. And if you're a Christian, regardless of the wrong done to you, you can forgive. You can forgive. And the way it starts is we acknowledge we have unforgiveness against a wrong that is done to us, and then we will too. We have to say, "Okay, God," or "Help me, Jesus. I know I need to forgive." That's the first step. And in that moment, the feelings probably are not there. But by God's grace, somehow, He works in our hearts and we truly forgive. And that's when God is pleased. That's when He said, "Blessed are you. You are merciful." And you, in turn, will receive mercy. By God's grace, you can forgive. And if you do forgive, one thing it means is your salvation is authentic. It's authentic because it is Christ in you being merciful. True faith cannot be separated from attitude and action. True faith cannot be separated from attitude and action. This is the work that the Word of God does on our souls, on our spirits. He's changing us. So we should be able to see evidence of a forgiving spirit in our lives. This is one of the things, having our cohort group, I meet every other Friday with some men, and I thank God that I meet with some men that will tell me the truth. Most of the time, kindly. But when you meet with your brothers and sisters in your discipleship group, do you point out that they are in sin by holding on to unforgiveness? You should do that. Help each other grow up in the faith and learn to forgive. Why is forgiveness so important? Because it is healing to our souls. When God forgives you in Christ, you are healed. No longer a sin-sick soul, but a forgiven, cleansed child of God. Forgiveness is healing. Now, my last point. God is faithful to us to show mercy in Christ. And this is what I was talking about earlier from Lamentations. God's mercy and His forgiveness, they are new every morning. God is faithful to continue to show mercy. Romans 5:8, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What does this mean? It means that God loves sinners. And He saves sinners. But God does not love sinners without dealing with their sins. Now, I felt some of you flinch just a moment there. Oh no, what's going to happen? You see, the beauty of the gospel is that God, in His wisdom, God, in His plan, decided that He would place our sin on Christ. Our sins are punished in Christ when He was on the cross. That's the beauty of the gospel of God. God is showing us the ultimate mercy to be received in Him. So the only way that you and I can approach God is through mercy. Those who come seeking it will find it full and free and in abundance. Those who have received mercy will show similar mercy to others by helping the undeserving and forgiving without limit. Let's pray.